Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, here's a little secret with what I do at the Rod Peterson Show, and I've made a career of it. I don't care whether you like me or you don't like me, but when you watch my show, I just want you to feel something.
How about that?
Whether you're happy or you're sad or you're angry or you're proud, I just want you to feel something. Because a lot of times you'll read a column or watch a show and say, meh. That's never been the hallmark of what I do. I want to make you think. I want to make you feel something. And it's worked. And if you don't agree with me, I'll be fine.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Rocking and rolling into Wednesday, episode 394 of Canada's daytime sports talk show.
I'll be fine.
Continuing to be fine. This might be one of the biggest days of the RP show history. Actually, it might be the biggest day. I'm not sure. We're going to be getting to our quick six show topics and talking a lot of hockey today, but I think it was Clark who said yesterday, we have landed the white whale of sports talk guests. And that is Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty from Spittin' Chicklets, coming up in 20 minutes. Which, by the way, did you text him, Clark? Thank you, because he said to text him a reminder. He was up late last night to make sure he's out of bed. Biz Nasty. And just for those that don't know, yeah, he's one half of Spittin' Chicklets with 1.1 million Twitter followers, close to a million Instagram followers, former NHL left winger. I got to know him in Arizona when my buddy... friend, I don't know if her buddies, Gary Drummond, owned the Coyotes, and I was hanging around the scene. And we got on well, if you will. So he's the Don Cherry of this generation. Would I be right in saying that?
That's pretty fair, right?
For this generation of fans, he's their Don Cherry.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to refer to him in the same way that the older generation would refer to Don Cherry. Yep.
And his act isn't getting old.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
It's who he is. It's so authentically him. And it just started organically and naturally when he was playing the game. And it's turned into what it is now.
He's also the Arizona Coyotes radio color commentator, too. So he does have a day job. So one of our viewers, Jackson Seal, I'm so pumped for this. We all are. But let's stay on track and get into the quick six show topics, please, Director Jordan. Thank you. And in block two is when Biz Nasty will be joining us from the Valley of the Sun. So number one, yes, the nation is in mourning from a hockey perspective. Canada losing to the United States in the gold medal final last night, 2-0. Yeah, we were all cocky yesterday. Well, me. And we were all saying this might be what the greatest Canadian team ever. Here's the problem. They might have been, but they didn't go out and show it. And the USA was the better team last night. They blanked Canada 2-0. Who do you blame? You can't blame the goalie. The guns went silent. For half the game, they were lost. Like for 30 minutes of the game, they looked lost. And why was that? Part of the reason was because they were trailing for the first time. The first time they faced adversity was in the gold medal game. So Canada falling in the gold medal game. Congrats to the Americans. They earned it. They're a great team. And we're going to find out a lot more about Trevor Zegras in the years ahead. He's the tournament MVP. Way to go, America. And then Russia. They might be calling for a summit in downtown Moscow soon because they lost the bronze medal game 4-1 to Finland. And as Darren pointed out last hour, Russia has got one gold medal in 12 years. That won't sit well with Mr. Putin.
Mm-mm.
Moving on to point two. The barrel. Can you put it up, Clark? Team USA, when they won it all last night, assembled for the obligatory and traditional team photo on the ice. And for some reason, they brought out a 45-gallon drum with a Team Canada logo on it. Now, I hit the sack immediately after the game last night. I didn't stay for any of the interviews to watch. I'm done. Good night. So when I got up this morning, Twitter's ablaze with this. What is this? A garbage can with a Canada logo on it? Of course I was... incensed like everybody else. And then I scroll Twitter a little longer and see it was already put to bed. The Team USA released a statement saying this, no, it's not about a garbage can with Team Canada on it. It was a barrel by barrel. It was kind of a flimsy explanation as far as I was concerned, but it was something they were doing for motivation and it, crossing the Sahara Desert and every game represented a different barrel. Maybe it was dumb, but it worked. But they're just saying, no disrespect intended. It's got nothing to do with Team Canada. And it's led to our poll question today. Was Team USA's barrel gate disrespectful to Canada? And we haven't checked the results for about an hour. So what do you got on Facebook there, Clark? What are they saying for results?
62% say no.
62% say no. It's not that there's a backstory. It's not meant to be offensive. But let's just have a little fun for a second and say, forget the backstory. Let's say they brought out a garbage can with Canada's logo on it, which is what I initially thought. And I'm like, those dirty.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought was, who cares? They won. They can do whatever the heck they want. That's all that matters. Like Chris Streveler in Winnipeg. You win the Grey Cup, you can be drunk for a week and stroll down Portage Avenue in a fur coat and a cowboy hat and a 12-pack old Milwaukee under your arm, and nobody's going to care. They're going to love you. You can do whatever the hell you want if you win. So I didn't like it, and it's still somewhat disrespectful. Because in 10 years, we're going to look back at those photos and not remember the backstory and still see that. Right? People are going to forget. But they won. So they can do whatever they want. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. That's not a bad message to youth. Something to strive for. You reach the top of the mountain, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's an interesting story of perspective, too, because we lost, they're disrespectful, everything else. And on the American side, it's like, we knocked down big, bad Canada, and it's one of the greatest moments of their lives. And, you know, the victors, right? So it's interesting, the perspective side of it. And in America, they love it, obviously. They're happy. This is one of the greatest victories for the nation, period.
Well.
And for Canada, not quite the same.
Well. Not in America, that small fraction of hockey.
It's huge.
For them, it's huge. But I kept getting all last night that Americans don't care. Even Chuck Kurtai, our good friend in Pittsburgh, the writer down there, says it's apathy across the United States. And I'm like, well, that's your loss then. Because it's a big deal to us. And it still hurts that we lost. But at least we can say the better team won Tuesday night. And let's move on. Speaking of, let's move on. Point three, NFL wildcard divisional weekend. There are six games this weekend, three Saturday, three Sunday, and the Sunday night game is a battle of the black and blue division, the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Cleveland will be missing their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who I believe will be the coach of the year in the NFL. If not, he should be. If not, who else, by the way?
McDermott in Buffalo.
Eh.
Would be a real strong candidate. But yeah, he's up there for sure.
So he's going to miss the game because he's tested positive for COVID along with a handful of players. And I don't think he's allowed to come anywhere around the stadium. I said, put him in a hazmat suit and let him go out and call plays. Apparently, they probably thought of that and said, no, you can't. So the effect, the Kevin Stefanski effect, he is the play caller on offense, right? You know, we had Johnny Avello from DraftKings on last hour, and what did he say? The absence of Stefanski, they've moved the line by a half a point. I think it's a lot bigger than a half a point impact on this game.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. Now, he did say they're going to find a way. You know, he just assumes they're going to find a way to, he'll be communicating on the sideline through a headset or something. That'll be interesting to see if that's allowed or how they can make that work. But if he's, you know, absent, that does change things for Cleveland, especially that's Baker Mayfield's play caller, right? So that's your security blanket, a little bit familiarity. And it's not about the game plan or the playbook. It's about knowing when to pull the strings and how to manage it when different situations happen.
That's why they won so many games under Kevin Stefanski. So anyways, it's huge. This is the warm-up for Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. Clark, the second Biznasty logs in, please let me know. And we'll go to break early and get him on as soon as possible. So point four, those three games on Saturday on NFL wildcard weekend are the Colts at the Bills, starting at noon central, Rams at Seattle, and then the night game, Tampa Bay at Washington, as Brady and the Bucs have their way with Washington and Bill Belichick and the Patriots watch on television. Point five is the Sunday games. His Tennessee Titans, and he admitted to being a little worried. Are you wearing Titans stuff?
Not today.
You're wearing a hat in earlier, a Titans hat. They're home to the Baltimore Ravens, and They met last year, did they not?
They did.
And the Titans won.
They did.
So that'll be a great game. And then the middle game is Chicago with the Saints, and then the night game is Cleveland at Pittsburgh, as we talked about. Point six is a big one around here. Our good friend Les Lazaruk, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, former Winnipeg Jets color commentator, tweeted, it was Monday or Tuesday, that there's a rumor that Hockey Canada will pull the plug on all of hockey in Canada on Wednesday. That's today. And it got a lot of people really worried. It got those of us in that world wondering, is the Western Hockey League and the Junior A leagues under the umbrella of Hockey Canada? We heard that they're not. I think they are. I don't know. And then the Saskatchewan Hockey Association sent out a tweet on Tuesday saying, there's a rumor going around that the entire season's going to be scrapped. I'm paraphrasing. On Wednesday, and we will tell you that is there's nothing further than the truth, and we're working behind the scenes to play. We're doing everything we can to play. So the rumor, and Les did put up the disclaimer that I hope this is bogus. Well, it turned out to be bogus. We've got some information today that even furthers our notion that the Western Hockey League is going to play. The anonymous private donor, for now anonymous private donor, is going to underwrite the cost of playing. I believe that's what I was told from a good source. Two, they've applied to the government to play in empty arenas. If they're going to play, that's what they're going to have to do. And what was the third that came to light today?
The donor.
Everything pointed to the WHL arenas. Playing, yeah, anyways.
Exactly.
Well, Kyle Outridge is watching in Ontario, and he says, running out of time for junior hockey to return. Says who? Oh, that was the third point, that they're willing to play into the summer,
yeah,
to award a Memorial Cup. So the things that I'm hearing are pointing more towards them playing than not. That's the big point. Hockey in Canada, obviously, that's what we're hearing. Yesterday's Rockstar of the Day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions were Spencer Moore, tight end of the Montreal Alouettes, and his wife, Shelby. The viewers really liked them yesterday. Bonus point two, Cody Fajardo signing a contract extension with the Saskatchewan Roughriders through 2022. It is January the 8th. Is it the 8th today? 6th. Can't read my own writing. Not quite Elvis's birthday. But people are starting to talk a lot about the CFL season. I got word from the Western Canadian Baseball League that they plan to start up in June, if all goes according to plan with vaccinations. So the Fajardo thing's good news. The CFL's pumping out a lot of good news. Everybody wants to feel good about a season. Yeah. Fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. And, just a couple of things. One, my family's very happy. I talked to my uncle in Kelowna yesterday, my mom's brother. And I hadn't talked to him in about a year. And I said, when we had a family reunion in Calgary, and I said, what's your cable out there, Shaw? And he says, no, it's TELUS Optik TV. I watch you every day. My uncle. And he goes, I tape you every day. And then if you're talking hockey, I don't watch it. But if you're talking football, I do. And I said, well, you understand we're a hockey country, right? So I got to talk hockey. He said, oh, I get it. He goes, but no, all my buddies out here, we all watch it. So that's good. My family's happy out in BC.
That's great.
That's happening. And I wanted to point this out. I picked up these bad boys yesterday. I put it on my Instagram. Look at this. I want to. The Moose Jaw Warriors. Can we get a place for this?
Yeah.
On the wall
for
somewhere?
For sure we can. Maybe in the.
And this outdoor classic game from the Regina Pats, the Prairie Classic, when they played the Calgary Hitmen. Was that just last year? It was the day after the NHL Heritage Classic here, right?
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, Chris Clark from the Unofficial Pats podcast sold them to me. And somebody said, why is Chris selling them? I said, I don't care. Why do I care?
The other one's going to be a collector's item.
Maybe. Maybe.
It might be.
Talking about changing the logo. So we've got two new jerseys to adorn the bunker here. So this has been the warm-up for Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL. Biz Nasty has logged in, and he joins us next from the Valley of the Sun, and we're going to talk about this hockey game last night and see if he's recovered. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and the time is here. We got a lot of comments on those jerseys, by the way, that I just threw up, and I'll get to those in a minute, but we're not going to keep this guy waiting. Phoenix Coyotes, great. Paul Bissonnette joins us from the Valley of the Sun, from the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. Biz, hey, they reminded you that we're on national television live, right? Just the language thing, they told you that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll dial it in. I'm a little bit jealous of your setup. I thought I had a cool setup here. You got the whole studio there. You even got a sidekick.
So do you. An American one, by the way, which is where I want to start, Biz.
Of course.
Is your day horrible with the Americans winning and you living in America?
No, I think anytime the expectations going in, you know, when it's a one-game final, is you never know. I thought the Americans played a good game, and I just, you know, there's a lot of pressure going on these Canadian kids, a lot of first rounders. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they couldn't really muster much up. That was probably the most frustrating part. But they ran into a hot goaltender and a team that had a lot of will. And I think most of the attention ended up going to the barrel post game.
No kidding. I woke up this morning enraged. I saw the picture. I'm like, what? And then I got the explanation that, oh, it's got nothing to do with a garbage can and Team Canada. I'm not even sure I'm buying it. What do you think about the barrel?
Oh, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was odd that they brought it on the ice. And obviously when that happened and with social media, how quickly things can catch fire. I think it raised the tension post-game, and it created a little bit of a separate storyline. But ultimately, they played awesome. They deserve to win. Happy for the other guys on the podcast. I'm kind of outnumbered 3-1, and they were digging in pretty good on the group chat.
But, Biz, stop. It's got to hurt, man. Like, I watched the videos. I logged on in between periods, and Whitney's running around singing, "We are the champions." Like, have they not rubbed it in today, or have you just turned your phone off?
No, the one thing it was just I thought that Finland outplayed the States in the semifinal game, and I thought that Canada had a pretty good stranglehold on Russia, and I thought just given with the extra 3-4 hours rest because they played earlier that they were going to steamroll them. And I mean, I think a lot of the hype of the not giving up a goal 5-on-5, and then all of a sudden they were the first ones to get on their heels when the United States finally potted one 5-on-5, and it just seemed after that. United States really settled in. And as I mentioned, I'd say the most frustrating part, other than on maybe the power play, there wasn't a ton of sustained pressure for Canada. I thought the United States just did an incredible job with their game plan and executing it.
Craig Campbell, the executive director of the Hockey Hall of Fame in downtown Toronto, is watching, and he says, quality touch with the Hudson's Bay blanket on the couch. Where'd you scoop that, Biz? Did you bring that from home, or what's the story?
Well, that was actually a gift from the CEO of Barstool, Erica Nardini. She sent it over for Christmas. I've been going hiking a lot. I think maybe that's why she sent it over. I'll be bringing this on my hiking trips, but I love it. I love the colors. I'd seen them around, but I didn't know exactly what it is. I don't even know the story behind it. What's Hudson's Bay?
That was their logo, probably still is. Well, it's the Bay. Well, in Ontario, okay. Must have had a Bay store, I would think.
This is the Pendleton Home Collection. No free ads, by the way, on this.
No kidding. The Bay, that was their logo, those colors for years and years and years, and I think they still are, the department store. Look, one more on the game. Let me just ask you this. At what point did you get worried that this might not be our night? Where were you
right,
in the game?
Right at the beginning of the second when they got their second, and that was just – I thought you were going to come out and see a different Canada team. I thought maybe they were going to take a little bit of the momentum off of that power play late in the first period. I think they hit a post there, and then Byfield had a glorious chance right in the slot area. I don't know when he tipped it, if it ended up just going right up into the mesh or if he missed it outright. But, yeah, when they scored that early one and then all of a sudden it was 2-0, it was they just couldn't muster up anything after that, really.
I know. I started to get those tingles like, oh, no, it's happening and we can't stop it.
Well, that's what's frustrating in a situation like this. They're playing in back to back and often throughout the tournament, they're relying heavily on their top guys to where it's like in a back to back situation, like especially even throughout the course of a season is like some nights like your top guys might not have the juice that they had the night before. I'm not saying they played bad, but, you know, who are going to be the other guys? So like. divvying up the ice time and maybe riding a hotter line if it is your fourth line. But really, in this situation, their big guns weren't able to muster up enough offense, and I don't think they even had anyone in the depth lines that they could turn to where they could hand the reins over in order to lug that ice. But at the end of the day, like I said, you just got to tip your cap to the States, and anytime you find yourselves in these situations against the United States in the final, it's never a guarantee, as we know now, four in a row.
I'm with you. We have a year to suck on this until next year when we can get him back. Now, Biz, I was telling the viewers this earlier. I don't know if you remember. You know that saying, the elevator visit? You and I had one in the Gila River Arena press box a few years ago because you started following me on Twitter the next day. I said, you honestly believe it takes 5 years for a rebuild? Remember that? And you winked and you said, got to sell it. And at that time, the Coyotes were in year three of the rebuild. And then in year five, the Coyotes make the playoffs for the first time since 2012. And it's almost like the rebuild was achieved. You know, it was our elevator visit. It was about a 25-second long chat about the Coyotes rebuild. Yeah. Is the rebuild complete in Arizona, or where are they on the cycle?
I think we've taken a couple steps back over the last 6 months. It's been a bit of a tough go. Of course, spending up to the cap, losing a lot of assets with a few different reasons here. Obviously, bringing over Taylor Hall at the deadline, losing some to the issue with training guys before the draft. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that situation. But in today's NHL, given the cap situation and how young the league's gone, I think 5 years is plenty of time for a rebuild. At one point, I really liked where it was heading. I thought that at one point it did get rushed and then contracts were maybe given out. But once again, that's the new NHL before they'd fully been earned. But if you're trying to catch these players on the upslope where at the end of the contracts you're getting a bargain, then I guess we're going to have to see it play out. But as far as a rebuild's concerned, Coyotes are going to have a little bit more work to do here. And fortunately, they do have a few good pieces with Darcy Kuemper and net. There was a lot of trade talks with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I'm sure that settled down, and I'm not sure he's going to move this year, at least give it one more go. But and then they got a couple young guys up front. I mean, we just talked about the Team USA, like Clayton Keller. He's a big piece. They signed him to a long-term extension. They also have Nick Schmaltz, who they brought over from Chicago, who, when he's been healthy, he's shown some great signs of producing high-end offense. So as far as the rebuild is concerned, and if in today's NHL, are you able to do it in 5 years? Absolutely. I mean, you're seeing tons of teams flipping around, maybe in even a shorter term span than that. But as far as the Coyotes are concerned, I think that they've had some moves that have hurt them, that have set them back some time here.
Well, they're my third favorite team behind the Golden Knights, Oilers, and then the Coyotes are in there. Are we going to see a radical shift in philosophy under Bill Armstrong from John Chayka, or more of the same, do you think? Strategy.
I mean, he's going to have to come in and prove it. I mean, he's been able to do it as an assistant GM with St. Louis. And as far as their draft record and how they've been able to develop players and then continue to keep the organization relevant. I mean, yeah, he's been there, done that, and seen one of the best in the business and Doug Armstrong do it. So I would imagine that he's going to be able to take that over here. I don't think it's something that where you just kind of click your finger, because there still are a lot of question marks as far as, with the lack of assets in the draft that we do have coming up in the next few years, what is going to be the plan with that? How are you going to manage the assets that you have that might keep you, for instance, we have Darcy Kuemper and net, right? It's kind of a Carey Price situation, and I know that's very high praise, but if you look at Darcy Kemper's numbers over the last few years, he's an elite world-class goaltender. Is he going to make your team so good to where you remain competitive, but you just miss out of playoffs to where you're never getting these high-end draft picks that are going to end up coming in and making an impact? Ultimately, you've seen all these teams that have been able to turn it around very quickly. There's a common denominator here is they end up having a high-end impact player drafted first or second or third overall, and or done by committee that can come in and change your organization. I mean, Austin Matthews with Toronto, Jack Eichel's a game breaker in Buffalo, who they can build around, although that might not be the best example given the struggles that they've had in the recent years. But they got some things to figure out, Rod, and there's no way to really sugarcoat it. But I respect the question, and Yes, I'm trying to sell it as best as possible, being an employee of the Arizona Coyotes here.
I'll never forget you. Got to sell it. God bless these viewers. Corey in Winnipeg. Hey, Biz, is Phil Kessel sleeping on your other couch, still renting from you? Please don't wake him up. Yes, yeah. Chris in Toronto. 5 years is enough for a rebuild? Could someone please tell Brendan Shanahan? In Toronto, so there's that.
Everybody's really antsy about the Leafs. Like, I feel like they're coming into their time now. Like, I mean, it's easy to judge the last few years. They still have had a very young core group if you look at it, but I would say the time to probably start judging would be this year, now that they got some more veteran experience in there. I think Joe Thornton's really going to help. You know, I mean, not only with the on-ice stuff, but I think deflecting a lot of the negativity in the media. Would you say that it gets to the point where it's a little bit toxic, where even when things are going well, they're pointing things to create storylines? So I think I'm very optimistic as a closet Leafs fan that this year they will definitely make some strides.
You know, I gotta bring this up, by the way. Speaking of being a closet Leafs fan, because you're a Welland guy, do you know this Ben Vanderklok? Because I brought this up to Rich Sutter the other day. He's the goalie coach for the Predators. I'd never heard of him before. I said he's going to have his hands full with Askarov. And I see you guys are from the same hometown.
Yes, Ben Vanderklok. I believe he played for the Cougars, Welland Cougars at one point. I believe they were called the Welland Cougars at the time. But great goaltender, ended up going on. He had a bunch of goalie schools back home. All of a sudden, he'd hopped on with the Preds. And I believe he's been there for at least a good 5 or 6 years now and had a lot of success at the NHL level. So Rod, it was crazy. During this one period of time, we ended up having, I think, 7 players from Welland in the NHL at one time. Which, you know, if you're familiar with Matt Ellis, he was with Buffalo. Oh, yeah. I think he started his career with the Detroit Red Wings. And keep in mind here, we're talking about a town of 50,000 people. And we were just very fortunate where we had a lot of good members of the community who helped out with the minor hockey system. And we ended up having this massive wave. I mean, Dan Pye won a cup with Boston. Cal Clutterbuck, who's had a very good career, is still playing with the Islanders. Dan Girardi, who almost hit 1,000 games. Jamie Tartuff, who snuck in. I throw Nathan Horton in the mix because he played his minor hockey in Welland. Mind you, he was a freak of nature, so he was playing Junior B in that same league that Vanderklok was in at 13 years old. But, Vandy's had a great post-career, and I couldn't be happier for the gang from back home in Welland, Ontario.
Horton was a World Juniors hero, if I'm not mistaken, too. Was he not, for Canada? And I think he was. I'd have to look it up. Boy, obviously, Biz, a flood of questions coming in. I won't keep you too long here, but Robin and Prince Albert says, who are you kidding? Matthews will sign in Arizona after his current contract. And look, Gary Drummond and Anthony LeBlanc are good friends of mine. That's how I got down there. And their rebuild was this for Austin Matthews. As you know, that was the plan. And this team, they still, I believe, still left it better than when they found it. I really do. But do you believe the day comes that Austin Matthews wears a Coyotes jersey?
I mean, I don't know if I say yeah, and if I speak on it, it's tampering. I don't want to get us fined. I can't have the Coyotes lose any more draft picks here, Rod. All right, it would be cool. I mean, he grew up watching Doner and developing a bit here in Arizona. I know he ended up going off and going some places like Europe before he started his NHL career, but he signed that big deal in Toronto, although it was a 5-year deal extension. And I think it would be cool to have him back here. I think it would be great for the game. You mentioned that the praying aspect and hoping that they were going to land him, that would have been a big time game changer for the organization. And it just so happens, when I was talking about those high end draft picks, Coyotes have never gotten much luck in the draft. I think the highest they've ever picked is third. They got Kyle Turris at third. And the year I want to say that was it, Matthews was available, they ended up getting Dylan Strome third, who is no longer with the organization. So those are the types of guys that would change the, you know, the whole dynamic of an organization. And he would be very, very well received here. And speaking of Phil Kessel sleeping on my couch, Austin Matthews can sleep. I'll sleep on the couch. He can sleep in my bed, just not with my old lady.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, there's a lot of questions coming in. I don't want the full story because I don't think we have time. But Jim in New Jersey is watching. He wants to know the arena where you scored your first goal and if you still have the goal light. Where'd that happen, Biz?
okay, so this is a Budweiser goal light, but that's actually that's a Coyotes photo with a Pittsburgh Penguins puck, and that was my 200th NHL game. And oddly enough, it was against the Penguins who drafted me and gave me my start in the NHL. So it was obviously a special night. I got that there. But as far as my first goal, I ended up scoring against the Montreal Canadiens at Gila River Arena, and I wasn't looking at the puck. Heschka shot it from the point. It hit my skate and went in. But you know the grandkids are going to hear about me going end-to-end, splitting the D, and going top cheese on Carey Price. So that's how my grandkids are going to hear about it. But in all seriousness, it wasn't very pretty, Rod.
Well, say, grandkids, there was no video back then. Just trust me. This is a story on it. Just trust me. I got to ask you this. I'm a huge NLL fan. I'm a Saskatchewan Rush season ticket holder. So when I saw you jaw-jacking the Vancouver Stealth, now the Warriors, I thought it was hilarious. And then I saw when it worked out with them and you said that they were bullying me. I actually thought you were serious at first, that they were, what'd you say, bullying or harassing you, the players?
Yeah, your fans are crazy. Grandma Rush as well. I know that recently she'd gotten sick. Is she doing all right?
As far as I know, she's doing well. We haven't seen them in a year. The league shut down. So as far as I know, she's come through it, yeah.
You know, it was a very unique experience. Like, I'd never played lacrosse growing up, but I know a lot of hockey players had, and how important it was, not only their conditioning, but their hand-eye coordination for doing it in the off season and not necessarily having to getting on the ice and getting that break. So they just wanted a little bit more traction towards their team, and they thought, hey, let's do something silly, do a collaboration in order to bring over hockey fans to the lacrosse community in order to give it more awareness. And we did that, you know, the silly video. I said that I was going to go and try out for the team. And Rod, let me tell you, lacrosse is so much harder than it looks. I, of course, I have a ton of respect for it before I'd even done it. I couldn't figure out how to shoot. I could barely catch a ball. Going up and down, the physicality alone of it is on a different level than the NHL. The amount of abuse that guys take in front of the net in lacrosse, if they're some guys, I know they're flying by the crease sometimes, but some guys are willing to sit in the paint and they just get hammered away on. And my experience watching those two games in the NLL were awesome. And now I've kind of even started paying attention to field lacrosse. So tons of respect for those guys. And I hope that they can get that league back going soon here.
Yeah, they just abuse each other. And it's legal. I'd love to see a team play.
It's like medieval time dinner and tournament. That's what it's like, a modern day version of that.
It's exactly what it is. I'd love to see a team in Phoenix playing in the downtown arena where the Suns play. Talking Stick, I think they still call it, right? Last one, Biz.
Yeah.
When I talk to the older folks, I say, Paul is the Don Cherry of this generation. And I want to know your thoughts on that label, because I believe you are.
Yeah, guys, we're kind of just hanging out in our own little sector of the internet. Don is the GOAT. You know, with the way everything went down, it was really unfortunate, because I believe with what he's done for the hockey community that, you know, it was really hard to see it end that way. And I mean, if anyone would give me that praise, I would take it with honor. I think Don's an incredible guy, and he does a lot, of course, for the veterans and people who serve. So, I'm going to deflect that, and I appreciate you saying that, but Don's the GOAT, and he's the OG, and I have the utmost respect for him.
He is, and we just had him on not that long ago, and it was unbelievable because he broke down, Biz. He actually said, because Daryl Sutter and Tiger Williams and guys had said that what you just said, that Graves had been railroaded out, and it's terrible the way that they treated him, and Graves is like, I thought people would forget about me. I'm like, are you kidding me, Grapes? But that tells you how humble a guy he is, yeah. Similar to the answer that you just had.
Yeah, it was just an unfortunate incident. And actually, Rod, when that all went down, I was doing the hometown hockey with Ron McLean. And it was the craziest thing, because you could see how much it was affecting Ron. And it was still, all the wheels were in motion, where a decision really even hadn't been made at that point. And I think it was just really a tough time on the hockey community, especially maybe the old school group. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're trying to advance as a society. And I think that maybe an apology would have helped out at the time. And, you know, it was just like, it was so crazy. It happened so quick. And it was just one of these things where I think, you know, it was tough. It was tough to see, man. And I can't really find the words to express, you know, how I feel about how it all went down. but it was just a crazy time, and I wish him the best, and I believe that, you know, he should at some point get a send off to thank him for what he's done.
Should be a statue of him in front of the CBC building on Front Street in downtown Toronto. But when Graves was on, Biz, he's not apologizing. He referred to us as you people. Yeah. So he doubled down on it. And it's funny, like it was a stretch of 3 days deciding whether Graves was going to keep his job or not. It felt like 3 months, right? Like it was a national crisis. What's going to happen with Don Cherry? But anyways, Biz, for what it's worth, I'm super proud of what you guys are doing there, man. And you just carry that flag so well as a Canadian, and what we're following very close what you're doing. So thanks for the time. Keep it up, my man. And all the best in 2021. Go Yotes.
Boys, thanks for having me on, and thank you. I'll let the boys know here about the support, and if you can ever get back to a game, we'll get the rebuild going again.
I love it. Let's do it. Not 5 years. All right. Thanks, Biz. Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty, joining us from the Valley of the Sun. Might be our biggest interview ever right there. You just saw it. We made history today. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network across all 10 provinces and 31 states. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Oof. That was amazing. We're still excited about the Paul Bissonnette interview. And Darren just sat there and enjoyed, hey,
ever interacting with the YouTube listeners. That's where I jump into the comments is on YouTube to interact with them, which is kind of fun. They were asking questions. What's the picture over his shoulder? And so that's cool.
Well, before we get into the sports update, Biz, I don't know, did I hear him wrong? He invited us to Arizona to a Coyotes game or two.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. And your mind just went into overdrive.
Oh, yeah. Like, we could have been on the plane ride to Florida. It's like, no, we're going to Phoenix now.
Like, hey, Captain.
We're going.
Swing right.
Attention, everybody. Once we get there, we're going to stay in the airport for 6 hours because we're going to Phoenix.
Oh, no. So, Alan the intern, who fills the Ricky the Iguana costume, our mascot. Alan's here, eh? Now that I think about it, can we see Ricky on the screen for those that, there he is. That's our mascot, Ricky. Ricky the Iguana. For one, Alan says, is rock star of the day any question? Biz Nasty is the rock star of the day, no question. Alan the intern, anointing Biz Nasty is the rock star of the day. And I would go along with that, but Tim Leeper, the Blue Jays first base coach, pretty damn good, too.
Yeah.
Last hour. And now Alan, he's throwing it down. He's challenging Growler, the Coyotes mascot, for a fight. Ricky, I set up the fights. Like you and the Stingrays mascot, South Carolina. He's challenging Growler, the Coyotes mascot.
He's the young fighter who's sitting there. I'm going to get that guy. And Don King's like, just settle down. I choose the fights.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I got to go through all my Facebook photos. Clark, we're going to pull this up. It's on my social right now, a photo of Growler and I at the Rough Riders party in Phoenix, but 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. I'm sending it to you right now, Clark. Here it is. Me and Growler. I'm just saying, Alan, you're challenging my buddy, Growler. So if you're going to fight him, you better win.
The photo was on your Instagram story.
It was on my Instagram story. It's on my Facebook. It's everywhere. Sports update. Canada had to settle for silver at the World Junior Hockey Championship following a 2-0 loss against the United States last night in Edmonton. The Americans now 4-1 all time against Canada when going head-to-head for gold. And Finland beat Russia 4-1 for bronze. The 2021 World Juniors had a shaky start, but Hockey Canada, the IIHF, and Edmonton's organizing committee pulled it off successfully in a global pandemic. Using the 2020 NHL playoff bubble as a template, the 10 teams arrived, played games, and crowned a champion without derailment. Mired in 29th place in the NBA overall standings, the 1-5 Raptors have gone west to start a 4-game road trip tonight in Arizona, facing the Phoenix Suns. Sacramento, Golden State, and Portland also await Toronto. Only the Pistons are worse, at 1-6. College football playoff executive director Bill Hancock says the national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State is still a go for Monday night. The pandemic threatened to shut down major college football altogether in the summer, but a season was played through dozens of postponements and cancellations, and with teams getting through games shorthanded because of the virus. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, for Wendell Clarkson, Saskatoon, where it is...
Wendell Wednesday.
Wendell Burger on feature today, $12.95. The Wendell Burger. Go try it out. Thank me later. And also, they're at the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with 8 amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha, I'm now having one half a G2G bar a day.
Okay.
It's working. Can you tell? I'm cutting my calories.
Is that all you're eating?
That's all that I'm eating. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Our viewer Caesar writes in and says, what was the stat yesterday? Canada has never won gold when scoring more than 10 goals in the opening game. LOL. Crazy how that works. Middle of the night, I got up to go to the bathroom. I'm that old now. I'm middle of the night peeing years old. And I'm thinking in the bathroom, in the dark, going, maybe we wasted too many goals against Germany.
Just saved a couple.
Right. I'm like, no. Stats are for losers. Not saying you are, Caesar, but stats remind me of the guy that drowned in the river that had an average depth of 6 inches. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I see? What did I do here?
I don't know.
We got through one segment. We should take one now. We can, right? Now, Clark, we're eligible. The number is up on the screen, the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Whatever you want to talk about, let us know. We'll get into it next with the viewer takeover. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus Television, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Moose and the entire crew here as we get into viewer takeover. Man, we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. So I'm just going to throw up. Can we put up the photo of Growler and me, the Coyotes mascot? Our mascot, Ricky, is challenging him to a fight. That's on the ice at Gila River Arena in Phoenix, and I'm wearing my Roger Aldag Ryder jersey, which was a wedding present to us from Fofo. But I think some people just wonder if all these stories that I tell, if they're all just made up bunk, and particularly the people that have just become familiar with this show.
Yeah.
It's all true, folks. These stories happened. That's Growler and me. So, Growler and Ricky, center ice, let's make it happen. We had the Blue Jays first base coach on from the John Gibbons era last hour. And we never did get into actual Jays free agency talk, but Barry Weeb has written us on Twitter and says, will the Blue Jays sign any free agent of noteworthiness? It's getting boring hearing they're in on all free agents this year. They're going to sign somebody. And this whole George Springer thing, where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Yeah, for sure. Apparently they didn't reach the asking price, but there's a 5-year deal on the table, right? So, yeah, the players, they're in it.
In that photo, Jeff the Stamps fan writes in and says, are you wearing bell bottoms, Rod? Yes, Jeff, it's called style. You wouldn't know about it.
That was the style back then.
It's called style. You wouldn't know about it. Ray in Toronto, watching from the 6, writes in from the 416. Hey, Rod, great interview with Bissonnette. Love Biz Nasty. Rock star of the day. Keep it going. Ray says keep it going, and that reminds me of a coffee session I had the week of Christmas with a pretty big-name media guy that was in town, and he said, keep doing what you're doing. I said, what is that? We don't know what we're doing. We're 394 shows in, and we don't know what... There's no roadmap.
I know.
He said, continue to trust your gut. So that's what we're doing. We covered the Hockey Saskatchewan tweet, Troy Reich, about they've thrown water on the rumor that the season is going to be canceled by Hockey Canada for the entire country. We covered that way back in hours, the start of hours one and hour two on point six. So we got it. Mandy in Edmonton was watching and she wanted to know the results of the Edmonton team name bracket that we ran prior to Christmas. She went off the grid over holiday. There it is. She didn't know what we named. The viewers voted for the Empire. And failing the Empire, they want the Elk. I'm starting to think I want the Elk over the Empire. But I know for sure I just want a season, and we don't know.
Yeah.
But out of all those things, what comes to mind? The team name? Playing?
Yeah.
What? Anything?
The team name's interesting. I still, with Washington, I like Washington football team. You know, I kind of think Edmonton could go that route. The hockey tweet's interesting, too, because I'm sitting here not knowing what to believe, right, when rumors come up where you say where there's smoke, there's fire. But I can understand where Saskatchewan hockey's coming from, too. Whether the rumor's wrong, you put that out there, great. But also, if this rumor's coming up, they're going to be getting a lot of heat, too, from parents. But you said you're trying to play. Why? But they said we're not going to play. So you come out with it saying, no, we're still working on it. And if it comes down, then the decision happens later, right? So it's so tense and there's so much, you know, confusion right now. It'll be interesting to see. You said 7 to 10 days, probably the next few weeks,
just
right?
Just a guess. Yeah.
No, for sure. And, you know, hopefully some more information will come down on that and we'll find out what's going to happen with the seasons because we all want to get back on the ice after watching the World Juniors.
I don't know that we have a face-off today. As a matter of fact, I don't think we do, but just throw up the logo, guys, if you don't mind. Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams. By the way, you can get yourself a Warrior jersey just like this at the Ultimate Fan Zone. I saw them. They have them for sale. Can't get one of these there, though. I'm just reaching over here. These jerseys just happen to be hanging here. I'm reaching for my liner sheet. Where the heck? Oh, yeah. For Mad Greek Restaurant in Moose Jaw, home for the best authentic Greek cuisine, available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. And for the Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw. I could face off and debate you on the Washington football team. Come on, man. This isn't soccer. They need a team name. Give me a break. There's your face off in 20 seconds or less. What?
For the most part, yeah. I think there could be one. There could be one. You know, Washington can do it. They can be the one. If another team in the NFL wants to do it, I'm not in. I think there can only be one. Just like you're not going to have two Eagles or two Bears. I know that people are going to say two Rough Riders. But, you know, there can be one. I think there can be one, and it has its place. But
yeah. Oh, the comments are coming in like crazy, and I apologize that I can't get to all of them, but just on the hockey thing, because we are a hockey country, as I've been led to believe, I'm kind of tiptoeing here through hot coals, what I can say, can't, and shouldn't, but the thing was this, it was like Hockey Canada wanted to get the World Juniors pulled off, because this stuff isn't easy, by the way. I've been talking to the players and the teams, they're being tested two times a day on off days, three times a day the day before the game. You know how sick these guys are having a Q-tip shoved up their nose? Do you know how sick they are?
I know.
So this is not easy stuff. You don't see what's going on behind the scenes. And for whatever reason, the leagues don't want you to see it, and that's their prerogative. But then they want to get the NHL season going, and then they want to get the AHL season going, which is February 5th. And then I'm told they want to get the WHL and CHL season going. That's what I'm told. And where the money's going to come from, I'm not at liberty to say, but that private wealthy donor, that is not going away. Meetings are happening with government. So it is positive, but I can't sit here and say that it's going to happen. Just like the CFL can't sit here and say it's going to happen. They're sending all these positive news messages out, all these positive smoke signals, but there's nothing saying that they're going to play either. But that's, I'm just right, saying it looks positive for sure hockey, and I'm talking to more people in hockey than I am in football. And we're junior A because everybody's asking about the SJ, the MJ, the AJ. Don't know for sure. Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow with Jamie Thomas and Clark Gillies. Nice work, Clark. 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and noon Eastern here on Game Plus. I had this steak!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.